before we get started, I got a little house cleaning to do. We actually had a letter that was, I think it was in Chandler's inbox in camp last year, stuck and fell down, and they sent it to me to give it to you. It says, "Dearest Chandler Wandler," so the little heart.
That's my aunt.
And I just as a matter of practice, if something like this happens here, it's probably best if you just read it out loud.
Riding the love train.
Yeah, I want you to just go ahead and read that out loud.
And Bertha likes to use a lot of nicknames, so yeah. Just beware. Please don't call me that ever.
No guarantees.
Dear Channy Wanny. That's Aunt Bertha. This is your great Aunt Bertha. First of all, how is your rash? I hope it's getting better. It did get better. Don't worry. I'm alive. Anyway, you've never met me before face to face. That's true. But I've heard a lot of great things about you. I'm so proud of you, and I thank God all the time for all the great stuff I hear. I hear that you are growing so big and strong. Also true. Both on the outside and on the inside. Oh, she's so sweet. But even though I am so incredibly proud of you, my sweet widow honey bunny, I still want you to keep growing and growing even more than you already have on the inside and on the outside. And no, that is not a fat joke. Sincerely, your loving great Aunt Bertha. Hug, hug, kiss, kiss. Big hug, big kiss. Big hug, little kiss.
Oh, man, that's so sweet. That's so great.
I love her quote.
Well, it's funny that she sent that letter because there's a lot of parallels between that letter and the letter that Paul wrote to the Colossians. Yeah, isn't that weird? How that...
No.
But did y'all notice what she said to him? She said, I haven't met you yet, but I'm so thankful because I've heard really good things. And I've heard that you're growing not only on the outside but also on the inside. Because what happened in this letter that Paul wrote to the Colossians, remember this is a letter that he wrote to these people at this church in Colossae over there. He wrote this letter to them, and he's never met them before. But he's heard really good things about them. Do you remember what he heard about them? Anybody remember from last week, other than sweat dripping? Does anybody remember anything other than sweat dripping last week?
It all merged together.
Yeah, I know. Remember, he talked about how the gospel is growing in them. And just like the gospel is growing wide around the area, it's also growing deep in their hearts. And the seed of the gospel is planted in them. And he's so thankful because he says, this gospel is growing in you. So I thank God every time I hear about you. But he doesn't want it to stop right there. He says, I want it to grow even more and more. So that's where, go ahead and turn to Colossians chapter 1 if you're not there yet. Everybody there? Colossians chapter 1? Okay. So, look at verse 7. Somebody read. It's Colossians chapter 1. We went through verse 6 last week. Somebody read verse 7 for us.
Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit.
Perfect. Okay. You learned it from Epaphras. You have to look back a little bit. What is the it referring to? What did they learn from Epaphras? Anybody see it?
God's grace.
Okay, God's grace.
The gospel.
The gospel. It's also called the word of truth. But yeah, he's talking about the gospel. Epaphras was this guy who went, and he probably planted this church in Colossae. He probably started this church, and then they started, when they received the gospel, what did they do with it? What happened to the gospel? Started to grow, right? And so Epaphras was like, this is awesome! So he goes back to Paul, who is where? In jail, right? He's in prison. Why is he in prison? They put him in prison for talking about Jesus. And Epaphras went back to and talked to him. I don't know if he's talking through bars or if they let him back there. I don't know. But he said, God, like Paul, these guys that in Colossae, these guys and girls, I shared the gospel with them, and it's growing. They are growing, and we see this love and faith in them pouring out to everyone. That's incredible, and God's doing it. It comes from the hope that's stored up for them in heaven. It's coming from Jesus, and it's pouring out, and he's so proud of them, and he's bragging about them to Paul because it's growing in them. So now, look at verse 9. For this reason, that reason that they're growing like crazy, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Okay, so what can they not stop doing since the day they heard about it?
Pray.
They're praying, okay? And what kind of prayer are they praying? What are they saying to God?
Well, they're not asking for things to be taken away and like their lives to be made easier.
But
yeah. They're praying that in everything that they would know, like have full knowledge of God's will.
Uh-huh. Right. And that's what they're asking for from God. It's interesting because sometimes we ask for small stuff, right, Chandler, that we talk about. These little things that we think are big problems, we ask God to take those away. And it's not bad to ask God for things, but start with the big thing. Start with asking Him things about Him. And then if you still have time left over, you can ask for things for you. And sometimes we flip that, don't we? And that's what He's asking. God, will you pour out your mind and heart to them more and more? So here in this prayer, He's asking God for something. But that's not the first time, that's not the only thing that he's praying about. Look at verse 3, go backwards. What were they praying about then? What were they saying to God in those prayers in verse 3? What were they saying to God?
Thank you.
They were saying thank you, right? They said. So he starts out by saying to these Colossians, these believers, he says, man, I want y'all to know that every time I pray, I thank God because of this awesome faith and love I see pouring out in you, because the gospel is growing in you, and I thank God. But I don't just thank Him for how far you've come. I ask that you'll do even more. I ask that God will keep pouring it, and that you would keep getting more of Jesus, not so you can just soak it up, but then it'll go out to everybody else too. I ask that you'll keep getting more and more. It's kind of like, let's see, do I have...
The sponge?
Oh. All right. Here, hold this. All right. Kobe, hold this. Okay, I'm going to give you some water. And whenever you've had enough water, just say when, okay?
When? Don't say stop. Don't say stop.
Just say when. Send up.
Oh, there's love.
Kobe, say when.
When.
Say
Kobe.
It. Say it. Kobe.
Kobe. Kobe. Kobe. Kobe. Kobe. I ain't listening to you. Okay. All right. Here. I didn't say put that in.
I'm just kidding. You like
that? Okay, now look. That's what... Kristen Vanderbilt, ladies and gentlemen. That's what I think about. The picture that comes to my head when I read about this, because what he's saying is, I know you've already come a long way. I know you've grown a lot. But don't get to a point where you say, when? Where you say, okay, that's enough. I've had enough gospel growth in my heart. I love Jesus enough right now. So when? Jesus, God, that's enough. You don't have to pour out anymore. He's saying, don't ever say when. You've been growing a lot in the gospel, and I'm going to keep asking God to give you more of Himself. I'm going to keep asking Him to pour Jesus more in your heart to where you think there's no more room in there, and He just expands it. And then there's still no room, so guess what happens to Jesus? He starts pouring out of you to everyone else. He's saying, don't ever get to that point where you say, I've had enough. He's saying, I'm thanking God for the growth, but I'm asking for more growth. And I'm asking specifically that He would pour out Jesus and pour out, it says specifically, fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. The knowledge of His will. What is His will? His will is the gospel and His plan for redemption for all nations. And He says, I want to fill your mind and heart. I want to ask God to fill your mind and heart with that plan, with God's will. And for that to so fill you up that it keeps coming out and that you never say, I've had enough. That you always grow and you keep wanting more. But why? Here's a question. Why would you possibly need that much Jesus? What's the purpose of being filled with that knowledge of what He's doing? Why should we be filled that much? Well, look, here's the purpose in verse 10. Somebody read 10, 11, and 12 and read it loud and proud. 10, 11, and 12.
So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light.
Okay, thank you, brother. So look, the reason he's asking God to fill them is not just so they'll be full. He's asking them to, God to fill them in order that they may do what? Live a life worthy of the Lord. That's the point of filling them, so that they can live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. So he wants them to be filled with the mind and heart of who God is and what He's doing, so that they can live a life that is worthy of the Lord and pleases Him. And it says in every way, but then he gives us, not every way, but he gives us four ways. He's going to give us four ways that you can live a life worthy of the Lord. I want you to underline that word fruit. Bearing fruit, because he wants you to increase in four things. If you're going to live a life worthy of the Lord, it's increasing constantly in these four things. First, it's fruit, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Underline that word knowledge. You've got to be increasing in knowledge. By the way, that's not going to happen unless you're spending time in your Bible and spending time with the Lord through reading the Scriptures. And then look in verse 11, being strengthened with all power. Underline the word power. You're walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. You're going to be increasing in power. That means there's going to be things in your life that you used to think, I can't do that, and now you have power to do them. Usually it's not things on the outside like lifting a car or something. Usually it's like the power to not get angry when somebody makes you mad. Or the power to tell somebody about Jesus, even though you're terrified of what people are going to think about you. It's that power, and you think, well, I don't have that kind of power in me. You're absolutely right. You don't. But look what it says. It says, with all power according to His glorious might. So it's according to His strength, not your own strength. So that's good news. We want you to grow in fruit, grow in knowledge, grow in power. And He wants you to grow in verse 12, joyfully giving thanks. Underline the words giving thanks. So that's four things. If you want to grow in living a life worthy of the Lord, it's to increase in bearing fruit, increase in knowledge of God, increase in power that comes from Jesus, and an increase in giving thanks, that you're more thankful, that there's not these awesome things that happen all the time that you just take it for granted. After I went to Romania on a mission trip and came back, I thanked God all the time for air conditioning. So there's just little things all the time that we just don't live in thankfulness for. The increasing and giving thanks. And now, notice, what are we saying thank you for? Here it's not talking about air conditioning, it's talking about something very specific. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of life. So that's what we're supposed to be saying thank you. Thank you, God, for letting me into something that I had no business being a part of. Into the kingdom of life. You know what that makes me think of? That makes me think of this awesome party going on with these saints, these believers of Jesus, these sons of the kingdom of light in there. And you think about the most amazing, crazy parties you've ever heard of and all the different things that even they're, if they're doing stuff that's sexual or with drugs and alcohol, they think they're having so much fun. This party is 10 times, 1,000, 1 million times more fun than that because this party has Jesus in there. They're just getting, they're glow sticks. It's awesome. They're having a party with Jesus. So this is an awesome party being with Him. That's what it means to be qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. I get this picture of like this big old bouncer saying, you don't belong in here, but somehow you get to go in and take part in what's going on with Jesus and the saints of the kingdom of life. And how in the world do you get qualified to get in there? I know that when I picture that in my mind, I'm thinking, I don't belong there. There's no way I could deserve to be in that kind of a party with Jesus forever. But somehow I'm in there. How in the world does that happen? Look at verse 13. For He has rescued us. Now, notice it doesn't say, I have earned the right to get out of the dominion of darkness. It doesn't say, I paid for it. Why is it important that instead of saying I earned it or paid for it, that it says He has rescued us? Why is that important?
Because we didn't earn it.
We didn't earn it. What else does that word rescued tell you?
We were in trouble.
We were in trouble, yeah.
Helpless.
We were helpless, yes.
We needed help.
We needed help. We needed a rescuer. We needed a savior. We were stuck. And look at where we were stuck. Forever. And this is like what I like to call a tale of two kingdoms. And look at where we started and look at where He brought us. He rescued us from the dominion of darkness, brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. Notice the difference between the word dominion and kingdom. A dominion, when I think of the word dominion, like I think of some kind of dark place where the edges of authority and reign are kind of fuzzy, and the leader of this dominion lurks in the shadows somewhere and you never see this guy. This is a dominion of darkness. And notice He took us out of that and brought us into the kingdom. It doesn't say the dominion of the Son He loves. It says the kingdom of the Son He loves, which means it's a place of rule and authority with a king. That's the difference between a kingdom and a dominion. A kingdom. It's emphasizing that this place has a king. And who is the king? It's the Son that He loves. The king of this place where we've been taken is the Son that God loves. The Father loves Jesus and pours out His love and makes Him king, forever exalted, forever glorified. And He's the king because the Father loves Him. And this is a kingdom of light, of warmth. And we have been brought into that. And some of us, I love the word brought, because it doesn't say, and we walked into the kingdom on our own accord. It says, He brought us. Some of us, He drug kicking and screaming into the kingdom of light because we didn't want Jesus. But He saved us. He rescued us. But how can he let us in? Look at what it says in verse 14. It's talking about this Son, the King, Jesus, in whom we have redemption. The reason Jesus can let us into His kingdom is because He gave us redemption. What does that mean? He gives us another word for that. It means the forgiveness of sins. That's what Jesus gives us. What we did by being born into sin and then choosing sin, every one of us was born into sin and we choose sin. And because of that, we belong in the dominion of darkness forever and ever. That's where we're supposed to be forever. But Jesus said, no, I love heaven too much. I'm going to die on the cross to pay for his sins so I can raise from the dead and then bring him with me if he'll put his faith in me. And he brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. That is what we're supposed to be growing in thankfulness for. You see that? Back when I made you underline those four things, the giving thanks, what are we supposed to give thanks for? Give thanks that you have been rescued. And don't ever, remember when I drew these two lines and said, the older you get, realize that God is more awesome than you thought and then you're more need of Him than you ever thought. So if your Jesus is this big in your heart today, I hope it's this big tomorrow. I hope it's that big the next day. I hope that the idea of the fact that you were rescued becomes more important to you tomorrow than it is today. And that you're always growing in that. Paul said to them, I thank God for the gospel growth that I see in you, but don't settle for that. I'm asking God to give you more of Himself so that you'll grow in understanding just how awesome this gospel is. So I want you to do one thing. I want you to just decide in your heart right now that I'm never going to say when. That I'm never going to say, that's enough, Jesus. I don't want to grow in that anymore. I don't want to think about being rescued anymore. It's okay. Never say, that's enough, Jesus. Don't ever say, you know, I spent... I open my Bible on Wednesdays and Sundays, and that's good enough. Or I read my Bible for 5 minutes, maybe every other day. That's good enough. Please don't ever say when. Don't ever say that's enough. You're settling for something that's not as satisfying as more and more and more of Jesus. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help that to be true in our hearts. Help us to always want more. Never settle wherever we are now, that we would grow even more in how much we love the gospel and grow in how much we love you, Jesus. And however big and awesome we think you are today, help us to grow in that. Help us to grow in our desire for more of you, Jesus. That's all we want. We don't want more friends, more. We don't want people to like us more. We don't want our classes to be easier. What we want more than anything is more of you, Jesus. Make that desire truer and truer in our hearts and give us yourself. We know you will. When we draw near to you, you draw near to us. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go to small groups.